Good morning. Welcome back to FLX Morning at 8:35. She was one of the last people I talked to my first gig here, and one of the first on the second go-around, Laura Turbide from Finger Lakes Health. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. We're so glad you're back.
We are such a poor advertisement for health today. You're limping around. I'm limping around.
I know. Well, good thing we're talking about hearts today, because we both have big hearts, yeah, and we're working on keeping them healthy.
So before we do that, it's been a while since I've talked to you on the radio, and I know that Finger Lakes Health, like so many medical organizations, went through the pandemic. You've gone through staffing shortages and things. How are things looking? Do you feel like you've kind of left some of that in the rearview mirror yet?
I would say we're a different organization coming out the other side of it, for sure, as is everywhere. So certainly, I think we've come out the other side in terms of what we're seeing in terms of COVID numbers and things, although, of course, we did see that spike of RSV, flu, and COVID all at once. But as we sit today, we're in good stead in that order. I will say we have, related to staffing, there's open walk-in interviews in Penyon today. So if there's anyone who wants to join the Finger Lakes Health family, we are always looking for talented, capable people in every role. So without question, I think like everywhere else, knowing how critical our staff is really the heart of what keeps everything going at our health system. And there are opportunities in many departments because the workforce has changed. So we are much like other organizations where we still would welcome, and we've lost people to traveling, or they would travel to work in other organizations. So we're really hoping that people, one, come back home. Two, we really want to make sure that people who may be after that, some of the pandemic time at home, if they're ready to come back, whether it be in our dietary service and housekeeping, as a clinical person, a nurse, a tech, a lab tech, we have lots of opportunities.
And also, in the 14 months since I've talked to you, I'm that much closer to being able to avail myself of senior services like the balance check and everything.
Us, aren't we all?
I'm getting there.
Time marches on.
All right, so let's talk about getting heart healthy today.
I am so, so happy to have with me today Yvonne Jolly, who is a nurse practitioner, who is, our home girl makes good, kind of is the best way to word it. Grew up, committed to this community, family, raised a family in this community. We're so, so proud that she has joined Geneva General Cardiology. It'll be a year, we were just saying, in the spring, it'll be a year that she's joined Geneva General Cardiology to work with Dr. Rodriguez. And of course, we have also another nurse practitioner, Rachel, and we have Pam Hobart, who's been there, who's kind of evolving more into a part-time role. Retirement is well-deserved for her. But Yvonne, many, many people know and trust Yvonne, and we all know that heart things can be frightening. They can be the things that, it can be unpredictable. It can be, sometimes people know that they might have cardiac health concerns. Some people don't, and it becomes a surprise. So we're going to talk a lot today about how to make sure that you're listening to yourself, that you know what the signs are, how we as a community can support heart health. So it's not just individual things that we can modify in our own behaviors and our own risk factors. Certain things like genetics, we can't control, but there are other things that are within our control. And a lot of it is about really making sure you get yourself connected with a good care provider, and also that you listen to yourself and you know your body and need to be an advocate for yourself. So,
all right,
so with
Yvonne,
that, Yvonne, I'm
welcome.
So thrilled.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you. So good morning, everybody, and thanks for having me come today. So one thing I'd like to say is that every 40 seconds, someone in the United States suffers a heart attack or a stroke. And then one in every five have an MI, which is a heart attack, will suffer a cardiovascular event within the 1 year. And some of the symptoms that you want to look for are symptoms of chest pain, pressure, heaviness, palpitations, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, dizziness, unexplained indigestion. A lot of times women present differently. They may not have the chest discomfort. They might come in with arm pain. They might come in with extreme fatigue because they're used to wearing so many hats. So these are things that you have to listen to your body, see if something's different, and don't be afraid to go to the emergency room if one of these symptoms presents to you, or call your physician so that you could be seen by the physician and more future testing could be done.
Yeah, you mentioned, for example, indigestion, and sometimes people having a cardiac event, they go, oh, it's just heartburn, I'm okay. Is there a way to tell the difference, or do you just get yourself in and get looked at?
really you get yourself in and get looked at, because unless you have sublingual nitroglycerin, unless you're somebody that has had an event or has unstable angina, you know, you really don't have anything to give yourself unless you were to take four baby aspirin. So the best thing to do is to go to the emergency room. And unfortunately, when I spoke before, I did have two friends that, you know, had unexplained indigestion, thought it was from something they ate, the one gentleman, and he died the next morning. Wow. Same thing with my second, you know, thought it was something that he ate, something he drank, and unfortunately had an event that took his life also. And in saying both of those, you know, it's good for people to learn how to do CPR, because especially if you're somewhere and you know, there's no one around, it's good if somebody could start CPR, because it does save lives. In saying that, as I said, women sometimes present differently. I have a friend that last year suffered an event, and they were in a little peninsula island off of the main coast, you know, off the main
wow.
land. And her husband, with the help of 911, performed CPR on her for 20 minutes. And I and my friends had lunch with her on Friday.
Now, I know people need to get trained to do this correctly, because this is one of these things I think a lot of people think they yep. know how to do it. You know, I'll just press up and down like they've seen on TV or something. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit. This talk doesn't substitute for getting proper training, but just give us kind of an overview of what a proper technique is.
Well, the one thing is, you know, you could go to the Red Cross and they will properly train you. Also, the American Heart Association will properly train you. You know, if you have a cell phone, call 911, put it on the speakerphone, and the 911 operator is going to talk you through what to do. A lot of people are afraid to start CPR. So, I mean, the best thing for me to say is to call 911, put the your phone on speakerphone, and then they will walk you through doing CPR.
And I know we talk about this in terms of stroke, but in cardiac events, same thing, time is so critical. The difference between getting treated in 4 or 5 minutes versus 20 might make the difference.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
And I think if you have a question, we do know ourselves, and I think it's our human nature to be dismissive of these things. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, we watch TV and we say, oh, there's going to be a wait at the ER. It's going to be a long wait. Well, I'll tell you, when there are questions of this, that's why we have a triage process. That's why we bring mm-hmm. people in. We can do those even lab work, right, very quickly, that can give a sense for people in terms of certain levels in their blood, whether they can then identify, have they had some kind of cardiac incident or not. Mm-hmm. So it can be a pretty reasonable rule in, a rule out. And the bottom line is, I have a friend at work who is perhaps listening right now, but she is amazing when any one of us have things going on and we're not sure. And she always says, many people don't get the chance. If you have a question, don't be somebody who now didn't get a chance to go in and question this. You're being given a chance right now to go in and see what's going on. Why aren't you feeling right? Something just, we know our bodies. We want to dismiss it. We want to play tough. We don't want to be baby about it. It's an inconvenience. But I think it's really critical. And Heart Month, what better time to talk about? It's not just you're doing it for you. You're doing this for the people who love you as well, to say, get the peace of mind, get checked. If you have any question, call 911. Don't try to drive yourself to the hospital. Call 911. And that's what we're here for. We literally are here for, and we would much rather you come in and have something ruled out than learn about these stories in the community where someone didn't come in or someone didn't know. We should also remind people that AEDs being available in our community means those AEDs will also walk people through that. Now, again, nothing is a substitute, as we've been talking about. Nothing is a substitute, and I hope we've seen how critical it was. We talked last week with our athletic trainers and how critical it is that they are trained, that there are coaches that are trained, et cetera. There's a reason why we have this training for people, so they can be appropriate first responders. Mm-hmm. So what else could be more important than be a first responder in your own family? So encourage people, give people that gift, go do it together. It does not take that long to get that certification and keep it up. And you never know. And I saw another wonderful story in the media recently about a person who literally was in the aisles of Walmart in the Rochester area and identified that someone was actually down having a heart attack, and that person was able to actually respond and really help save that person's life. So you never know when it's going to come in handy. The other thing we can talk about is listening to our body, but also what are the things we can do proactively to prevent? Because I know it's always worrisome to talk about on the back end, but let's talk a little bit about prevention and what are those gifts we can give ourselves every day in terms of prevention.
Just one thing before we do that, and that is we all saw this play out on national television on the football field with DeMar Hamlin of the Bills. Mm-hmm. Has there been any sort of uptick in people going, boy, I need to get trained and I need to be more aware of this since that happened?
I would say yes, because some of the patients that have come in have asked me, you know, where could I go for CPR training? You know, and I've given them, you know, you call the Red Cross or the American Heart Association. And just listening to people that talk about it in the community, you know, they're saying, geez, you know, maybe I should learn how to do CPR. And you know what? It's a great tool to have. I mean, it, you know, just so that you know how to do it, just in case something happens in front of you. Like patients, you know, people go to the gyms. You see somebody go down, at least you can help out. Find the AED. Use the AED. The AED talks you through everything.
So let's talk about a little bit about what Laura brought up, which is the other side, which is the prevention.
Yep.
And the great thing is a lot of what you can do to be heart healthy is everything healthy, you know, diet, exercise, et cetera. So how do we live how do we recognize if we're not living a heart healthy lifestyle and make those changes?
Well, there are a lot of modifiable risk factors that you could take care of. Like if you have hypertension, one thing is, you know, make sure you're monitoring your blood pressure, take your medications, you know, weight loss, low sodium diet, exercise, those are ways to help control your hypertension. Obesity, you know, not everybody is a stick figure. Every body figure is differently. And Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes time. So, you know, start slow. Cut your portions in half. Count your calories if you need to, however way you need to do it. Your macros, whatever it is. But, you know, obesity is a big, you know, factor also. Tobacco use. Nobody wants to hear about tobacco use. But you know what? Smoking is a huge risk factor. So, you know, smoke cessation. Alcohol use. You know, limiting your alcohol use or no alcohol at all. High cholesterol. You know, patients will say, oh, my cholesterol is 180. But what's your HDL? What's your triglycerides? What's your LDL? You know, really need to know the whole panel. So, you know, following a healthy heart diet. Exercise. And when I mean exercise, I don't mean you have to go to a gym. You know, there's a lot of things you could do. You could walk outside. You know, so exercise is a major important. And also if you have diabetes, there's a way of controlling diabetes. So these are all modifiable risk factors that you could do for yourself.
Is there a sense sometimes among older people that it's too late and they say, well, I've been living this way my whole life and if my heart's bad, it's bad and it's too late for me to do these things?
Yes. A lot of patients will come in, well, this is how it's been forever. Well, you know what? That second that event happens, you're going to wish that you listened to what we, you know, tried to encourage you to do. You know, we talk about heart attacks, but remember, stroke is life-altering also. And a heart attack could be life-altering because if you don't get to care in time and you really have a major event, it's going to damage that heart muscle where, you know, a scar is a scar. Once a pickle becomes a cucumber, it never comes back to being a pickle. So once that heart is scarred, you know, you might never get that function back. Those patients end up with defibrillators.
I know we've talked in the past about some of the screening that you've done for athletes because there's the, I forgot the exact name of it now.
The hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Yes, that happens to athletes. And you've, through that screening, identified some possible risk cases.
We have. So it is important to be following up, to be checking. Again, some of those are going to be more genetic kinds of things versus the modifiable things that Yvonne was talking about. I think it's important related to the modifiable things to also talk about these don't necessarily have to be whole-scale pendulum swing to the other direction. So I've heard that even a change in 10% of your body weight can really, a 10% change feels doable for people versus I have to lose 60 pounds, I have to lose 100 pounds, I have to quit smoking 100%. Guess what? Yes, quitting smoking 100% should indeed be the goal, but every step people take in these directions, parking your car further from the lot, although I'm not doing that with my crutches today, we'll see. Those are the steps that I think anything we can do that creates sort of bite-sized, digestible opportunities for people. So I do think you will never look back and say, I wish I hadn't taken those small steps. But you may look back and say, I wish I had started.
Well, and also, I think when you try to do the wholesale change, there's a higher rate of failure. I mean, with diets, you know, people who lose 50 pounds right away tend to gain it back as opposed to the person who goes slow and steady, mm-hmm. you know, rabbit and hare.
And again, it doesn't need to be their entire, or for example, if you're working on cholesterol, you're working on managing your blood pressure, it really is about working, like working slowly. That sometimes takes time with a partner. And I would say that's why I'm so glad to be on here with us today, because we know she's a trusted partner in the community. She's a trusted face in the community. She's someone who you can come in, you can be honest and open with about these are some things I'm struggling with. And also getting those statin medications right, getting those blood pressure medications right. It doesn't always happen, even when working specifically with a provider partner, doesn't happen instantly either. Sometimes there's some tweaking, but you can't do it until you start.
You can call Yvonne for an appointment or information at 315-787-4204. I like to keep up with my acronyms. So what is ANPBC?
Oh, Adult Nurse Practitioner Board Certified.
Ah, okay. I'm out of practice. I haven't done this in a long time. Laura, terrific to see you again, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, and we'll keep getting everybody healthy, starting with ourselves, apparently.
We got it.
Thanks very much for your time. It's 8:50 now on FLX Morning.
How was that?